Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, Shane, let's go!
Make me a bicycle clown!
Herbie, you don't have to pick up my missed hook shot into the trash can. Welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. A full boat show tonight. I'm very excited. We have a lot to talk about. The crew. Herb Lawrence is the executive producer of this fine program. Shane Reardon is in charge of all sound. You will be hearing from both of them. And is Rick Camp doing updates? Is that why he was here? Okay, he's on, okay, tonight too? Cool. So you'll hear from Rick Camp before we're out of here as well. A couple things we need to let you know, that the phone number is 312-644-6767. You can also text the show at 670-11. Before we get into tonight's content, I would like to start with a thank you. On Friday, if you follow me on Instagram or on Twitter, at Lawrence W. Holmes are the hooks for both of my tags, whether I'm on Instagram or Twitter, I gave the chance to pick up my Cubs tickets for next Sunday. Next Sunday, I have four tickets to go see the Cubs take on the Giants. My wife's out of town. I'm not going to go. I figured it'd be a cool way to give something to fans. What I wanted to do was tie it into a charity thing, which is great. And Maggie Hendricks, our good friend who works here and writes for USA Today, is participating in the AIDS ride, and she's trying to raise money for that. She bikes like a crazy person. You know, she lives way up north, and I see her down by me, by the Museum of Science and Industry. So she's getting herself ready. So what we did is we added the component and did a raffle where if you donated $50 to Maggie's cause, get her closer to her goal, I would put you in the raffle and then pick a name. I picked the name. It was Eric Villa. He won the ticket. So if you know Eric, hit him up. He is going to the game on Sunday. But I want to thank everyone who donated for the opportunity to win the tickets. And maybe I got more tickets, so maybe we'll do that again and do maybe a different cause. But I wanted to say I appreciate that you were willing to play along, and I know it's a cool thing that not a lot of people get the opportunity to go to a Cubs game, especially the seats that I have, which are super good, and Eric is going to have a very good time at the game. But what was really cool is that when we started, I think Maggie was at like 26 or 27% of her goal to the money that she wants to raise. And with this raffle, we got her all the way up to 61%. That is incredible. It's pacing way ahead of what she was hoping. She was hoping to get to 50% by the end of the month, and clearly she's got 10 more days and she's already 61%. So I want to say thank you to every listener who participated. And no, I give out tickets all the time, whether it's my Cubs tickets. I only have a few Cubs tickets. I'm a White Sox season ticket holder, but I get a few Cubs tickets per year. And I when I can, I like to give them out. And I usually do it via Instagram or Twitter. So I just want to say thanks to everyone who was involved. And I look forward to doing more of that as the seasons go on. Programming note, tomorrow and Wednesday, I am doing Cubs pre and post game. Yep. I'm excited. I guess Coom Dog is off, so it's going to be Ron and Zach on the broadcast. And I'm going to be Zach. So I'm going to dye my hair red. I'm going to come up with some zingers. And I'll try to hide my New York accent. And then I'll be Zach.
Make sure you laugh really loud in the background so we can hear you too.
He enjoys his jokes.
Yeah, you're going to be sitting by my guy Dave Miska,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, it'll be nice. I haven't talked with Miska in a while. It'll be good. I'm a little nervous, honestly. Like, it's a little nerve-wracking because I haven't – I've finished off post-game, but I've never done, like, full pre and post from the ballpark for Cubs. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. It should be – it's a challenge, and it'll be a lot of fun. And it's funny. The Cubs is actually where I wanted to start tonight with you. I wanted to talk with you about the Cubs. Cubs right now sitting at 25-19. A game and a half back, second place in the National League Central. If you look at what their starters have done over the last 24 games, we're talking about 12 quality starts in the last 24 games. I don't know if any of them were more important than the last two quality starts. Quintana going seven strong when you needed him to not tax the bullpen after Friday's game. And then yesterday, Darvish, with what I thought was a really courageous start. And I mean that in, obviously in the context of baseball. A really courageous start for him yesterday. Shane, you look like you want to say something, or are you just taking a deep breath?
I'm just waiting to play the audio, waiting for your cue.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. The reason why I thought Darvish's start was courageous yesterday is because he wasn't very good in the first inning. Those issues with command are still there. Everyone talks about it, and Shane, you joked about it yesterday on Twitter when we were talking about it, how I, as watching him and understanding what was going on, seeing him throw his two-seamer, see him throw his changeup and not have command of it, I saw him shaking off, and I'm just like, no, don't do that. Just throw your four-seam fastball because you seem to have command of it. And I'm sitting there going, look, man, a well-placed fastball gets plenty of people out, even at the major league level. You don't have to throw 105. If you throw 95, 96, where the catcher wants you to throw it, you'll get a lot of guys out doing that. And you saw the pitches piling up and piling up and piling up in that first inning, and you're going, oh, no, here we go again. Darvish isn't going to make it to the fifth inning, let alone make it out of the fifth inning. Apparently, he got the memo. Throw your fastball. And let this bum team hit the ball on the ground and get out of here. It's as simple as that, that you don't – it was very frustrating watching him shake off Taylor Swift and then throw a hanging changeup. Now, luckily, he didn't get crushed for it. But it was really frustrating to watch. And then once you got to the second inning, you saw him settle down. Joe Maddon was very, very happy with the version of Yu Darvish that we saw.
And then the difference was after the first inning, he really started to gain command of his fastball. And he started to dot that up at 95, 96. Then the slider becomes even more difficult. If he was in a different spot of the batting order, I probably would have let him go back out for the seventh. But, you know, six innings saw it like that, had a lead. His spot was coming up first, so I chose to take him out. But he was fine. When he kind of gets into a rhythm out there, it's almost like he stops thinking and just starts pitching. I think sometimes he has a tendency to overthink things. When he just goes out there, gets the ball back from the catcher, sees signs, sees glove, and throws it, man, he gets really good fast.
I agree wholeheartedly with Joe. Let Contreras put the sign down. You go, yes, and then throw it. He looked like a different pitcher once they got to that point. This idea of getting out of your own head and just doing what works. When you have a pitcher that has an arsenal, and we know that Darvish, depending on who you talk to, throws between 5 and 8 pitches. Sometimes you only need 2, and sometimes you only need 1. And if you've got command of the four-seam fastball, then throw the four-seam fastball until they make an adjustment to it. If that's the pitch that you can command and put where you want it, don't stop throwing it. As strange as it sounds, and you know, oh, major league pitchers, they can catch up to major league fastballs. Sure they can. But well-located fastballs break hitters off. So if you can throw that where you want it, then let's not play around. Let's not play around and go, oh, that slider, sure, it's hanging a little bit. That's where guys get into trouble. He ends up finishing the game, throwing six innings, only giving up two hits. He walks three, he strikes out seven. Gets that ERA below five. That's what I thought was great about it. There was an opportunity there, and I've been thinking all weekend. Honestly, I've been thinking back since last Friday. I was listening to Mully and Hanley, them discussing Yu Darvish. And I've been thinking of the right word to describe Darvish. Here's the thing. Words matter, and people put a lot into the words that are said. The word that I think describes him, and I don't mean this pejoratively, is delicate. I think that he's a delicate pitcher. I think he just happens to be one of these guys where everything needs to be right. And if everything isn't right, he's uncomfortable. And there are going to be times where you're not going to have command of all of those pitches. What might be on the scouting report, oh, you know, you have to be careful because Darvish throws a two-seamer and a four-seamer, and he throws a changeup, and he throws a slider, and he's got a curveball and all this stuff. You might have days where all of those things are clicking, and your arm slot is right, and it's getting people off guard and off balance. Or it might be a day like yesterday where you don't have command of every pitch in your arsenal, but you have one or two that you can rely on. And if you're able to put those pitches where you want, you can have an outing like yesterday where you throw up a quality start. You go six innings, you strike out seven, you give your team a chance. Him battling back from that first inning, and then only, I say only, I mean, it's 94 pitches, but battling back from an inning where he throws like 40, and then is efficient the rest of the way to get you through six. And you heard what Joe said. He was tempted to put him back out there for the seventh, but they wanted to make sure that they could pinch hit, and his spot was coming up. That start is a big deal. The start by Quintana. I've been hearing a lot of people slander Quintana. I was on Sports Talk Live last week, and I meant to bring it up to Kaplan. Just slandering Quintana. That man is 200 innings. I don't know why he's uncomfortable this year, but he's been uncomfortable. It was good to see him on Saturday go out there and do the damn thing. Pitch the way that everyone who has paid attention to Quintana knows that he can pitch. And it leads me to this. What if those guys are decent? What if we're at a point where Quintana and Darvish are decent? The Cubs are sitting there 25-19 with, up until now, has pretty much been a disaster for Quintana and Darvish. Like, we've seen the worst of them through the first quarter of the season. To me, I think it makes the Cubs look really good and really dangerous if those guys are okay. Like, they don't even have to be great. If they're just okay, if they're throwing quality starts, they don't have to be dominant or quality starts plus. If they're throwing quality starts, this offense can score enough that it might not matter. But I thought that this was an important weekend for the Cubs because of what those two guys do. Now, of course, there are caveats. It's the Reds. The Reds are trash. I get it. But even those games against trash teams, you're going to need them to do that too. Occasionally. And it was good to see both of those guys do it. Joe has some thoughts on Quintana's start as well this past weekend. Here's what he said. Not yet? All right. Just tell me when. We'll get to Joe. He's ready now. Here
he
is.
He's definitely on a mission. He's done it for us before. Limited bullpen availability. Went out and he pitched great. Pitched great. He found the strike zone. Made really good pitches when he needed to. You could see the life on his pitches. You could really see the carry from the side.
That's all you need. This segment on The Score is being brought to you by Casper Sleep. With a 100-night risk trial, you can discover how Casper has become the internet's favorite mattress. Go to Casper.com today for special Memorial Day savings. Casper.com. 312-644-6767 is the number if you would like to talk about the Cubs and their weekend in Cincinnati. Seeing Darvish, seeing Quintana pitch well. If those guys are decent, the Cubs can run away in this division. I want to discuss that with you next here on The Score. Glad that you're hanging out on a rainy Monday night. I must have seen like the weather reports wrong. I thought there wasn't supposed to be any rain like all week. Is that like just the rest of the week? Or I woke up this morning upset. It's like I thought there was going to be no rain. Fly melon. And then there's a lot of rain all day long. Hopefully there's no rain tomorrow. Cubs play tomorrow an early game. I'll have pre and post game here on The Score starting at 5:30. So no show, obviously, because there'll be Cubs baseball. So the next 2 days I'm on assignment doing that. Until then, I'm hanging out with you. Got some great guests on the show tonight. I'm very excited to talk with Doug Glanville. I can't wait to pick his brain about some of this stuff with Darvish. I'm going to talk with Chris Ranji. The Cardinals seem to be using the disabled list the same way the Cubs are. I think it's smart on both teams' account. And smart and the Cardinals are not usually two words that I put together, but I give them credit as an organization that I think they've got this thing going right. Joe Ostrowski will be on with me at 8. I've got baseball stuff I want to discuss with him, including the Manny Machado stuff. Herbie, were you yelling at people about Manny Machado? Is that what was going on? Shane, why are you rolling your eyes?
I was yelling because people are just, I don't know who gave them this hope that Manny Machado is going to stand with the White Sox. But as we listened to the press conference today, somebody asked him about the White Sox, and he's like, who?
Yeah, he's not going to be a White Sox.
Like, yeah, the team you're playing today.
Shane, you have some thoughts on this?
My thoughts are Herb likes to destroy anything that anybody enjoys. Those are my thoughts. It doesn't matter if it's baseball-related, White Sox-related. If I came out here and said, hey, I'm a really big fan of spicy brown mustard on my Polish sausage, Herb would find a way to tell me that spicy brown mustard is the worst thing ever and have plenty of facts to back it up. That's his thing. He's a contrarian, but he truly believes everything that he's against.
But if he gives you facts...
I don't care about the facts.
But
I care about my heart.
Okay. What's your heart tell you about the White Sox signing Manny Machado?
It's not great, Lawrence.
That's what I thought. It's not great at all. I've been thinking about whether or not it makes sense for the Cubs to do the rental thing with Machado. And I think that it's a good idea. Even though Addison Russell starting to play well. I just think with Russell, he may have reached his peak as an offensive player. I know that sounds stupid because we are talking about a guy, 1,500 at-bats at the major league level. I think he might be this, which is fine because he gives you exceptional defense. I do wonder what will the Orioles want and what will they accept in return for Machado, who they're clearly like, we're going to trade Machado. It's just a matter of to whom and when are we going to do it. But I can tell you this, and as I often say on this show, Herb Lawrence is either 100% right or 100% wrong.
This one's 100% right.
You are correct. He is 100% right. He will not be a White Sox, at least not soon. Like, I could see like 10 years from now, Manny Machado is a White Sox.
And Sean Figgins playing next to him at third base.
You know, King Griffey Jr., go get your guy. It's fine.
I want Nolan Arenado in 2020 anyway.
I'd be fine with that.
Forget Machado. I'm done with him.
I mean,
already moved on.
Obviously, you prefer, if Machado were interested, don't be the dude that, like, the girl isn't interested, now she's not hot. Like, that's ridiculous. Or the guy's not interested, so he's a jag. He's still really good and would make your team a lot better. Hey, here's something new. The White Sox aren't in last place in the American League Central, technically. Which is strange because they're percentage points behind Kansas City, but they have played, I think, four less games. So, hey.
I love the less games.
I think that happened last week. Shep won.
It was bad.
In the less games. I didn't listen, but it didn't sound like it went well for less. Hey, if you're going to come for the king, you can't miss. So, I give Shep credit for shooting his shot.
And that's the thing, the story that's untold. It's not just Les was bad. Shep was actually good.
Yeah, but it's trivia, though. Yeah, it's hard to judge. Plus, Les has got a lot of stuff swimming up there in that head of his.
I just think Les has recall, but it takes a little longer to grab. And they only gave him 15 seconds, Les.
He needs a little time to work some of that stuff out, for sure. Take some of your phone calls if you want to jump in, 312-64-6767. I'll ask Herbie on the other side of this update about the response from White Sox fans, along with us talking about the Cubs and the fact that you've had Darvish and Quintana be good in their last start. If those guys are even just okay, it's a problem for the National League Central. Here's Campy. Campy, thank you very much. My name is Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. There's some people that are upset. A texter texted in and said, why do we want to get rid of our sure-handed weak bat shortstop? That was the norm up until recently. Yeah, things change, man. Here's the other part of it. I'm not advocating for... Actually, I am. I actually think it makes a lot of sense for the Cubs to trade to get Manny Machado. My point is that the Cubs are in win-now mode. They are. They're in win-now mode. The job of Theo and Jed is to try to win the next World Series, which is this year. And if you're worried about someone saying, well, I'm scared they'll become Detroit. Let's say Machado doesn't sign. Your second base shortstop next year is Javi Baez. Or Hap Zobrist Javi Baez. You're fine. It's not like you don't have other guys. Like the guys that are here, remember, there's a little bit of a glut as far as playing time for some of these guys.
Or they could, get another free agent.
Sure they could. They sure could. The one that everyone thinks that they're going to get. Because he's got a dog named Wrigley and he played ball with Chris Bryant when they were 9. I'm okay with them rolling the dice on Manny Machado. Go out and try to skunk this division and be done with it.
DJ LeMahieu's a free agent next year.
Theo never saw him. Never saw him. It's fine if you want to do DJ LeMahieu. You don't need to, though. If you think that Hap is going to be good, he's probably most comfortable at second base, right?
Jordy Mercer, does that do more for you than Hap?
No, I'm fine.
Ooh, I like Jordy Mercer.
I like him too, and I like DJ LeMahieu a lot. I'm good. You don't have to go spend money on those guys.
What about X-Pac?
No, we don't want Sean X-Pac Rodriguez out there punching Gatorades.
Jose Iglesias in his first year of unrestricted free agency?
No, you don't need to go sign anyone. There's enough guys.
Shin Splints McGee?
There's enough guys. You don't have to do that. Out to Highland Park and David. Hey, David, you're on the score. David? I can hear David breathing. It's too bad. I would have enjoyed talking to him. Texas says, what's funny is classic 85-win Sox team wins a division in 2018. Seriously? Like, are we doing this thing? I don't want to do that thing. I don't want to do the thing where we talk about how the old school, bad, full of over-the-hill Sox free agents wins this bad division. I don't care. I want them to be sustainably good. That's what I want. Texter, does signing Machado mean no chance at Harper? I kind of think so. But here's the other question. If you're Machado, are you signing this year? I'm not. Shane, if you're Manny Machado, are you signing a deal? Let's say you get traded to the Cubs. You signing with the Cubs immediately?
I mean, free agency this year might scare me off a little bit from testing the waters.
But you're Manny Machado, though.
Right, you're Manny Machado, but you also have another bat and another name just as big as yours in Bryce Harper. I think it's going to be a late one again. I don't think it's going to be until late February that both of those guys are off the table.
Would it scare you enough that you would sign with the Cubs right now?
No.
Agreed.
You didn't play all these years and then do all the stuff that the Orioles wanted to do just so you can sign with a team that you've never played for. You're going to let everybody bid for you.
Yes, but Albert Almora is his cousin or something. I don't know. To me, I'm with you, Herbie, that I've been trying to be a free agent from this awful team that has no direction in the Baltimore Orioles. I've been trying to get away from that franchise for a while. And now there's big money. There's going to be big money out there for Manny Machado after Bryce Harper gets his money.
Bryce Harper gets a lot more, right?
I would say 100 million more.
Yeah, easily.
I think he gets 100 million more dollars.
Unless, but you know what? Don't you place in this day and age, place a premium on middle infielders?
Sure you do. I feel like Bryce Harper has, not that Machado doesn't, but I feel like Harper is a top five player in the game.
I think he gets 6 to 7 per a year more. I don't know if it's 100 million. Like if you expect.
All right, so you're thinking like 60 to 70 million more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Southwest Side and John. Hey, John, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, what's on your mind?
I don't understand why you think the Cubs need Machado, especially as a rental, when Addison Russell is like a top 25 WAR player. Not to mention what the Cubs need for the playoffs is to stock up on pitching. They need to build a great bullpen, better than their bullpen right now. So I don't understand paying for – they pay such a high premium for a rental – makes no sense whatsoever.
I think it makes more sense. I appreciate the phone call, though.
Where was Addison Russell a top 25 WAR player?
He's not even in the top 50 right now.
It's okay. Defensively, though, he's one of the best. So,
well, actively defensive, he's 30th.
It's fine. What about his position?
It'll take some time.
At his position, he's probably one or two in the National League.
But Baez tags really well.
I prefer Baez.
He tags really well.
Defensive WAR, he is 4th.
See? There you go.
Total.
What's Manny Machado's... Let's do this. What's his WAR number? What's Addison Russell's WAR number? His total WAR number right now?
1.2.
My guess... I was going to say 1.4. So he's 1.2. What's Manny Machado right now? Is he about 3?
2.3.
Yomer Sanchez is 0.9.
That's enough.
Well, the reason why he brings it up, because last year, Manny and Yomer were tied at 3.5.
That's enough.
But yeah, Manny's having a great year. 2.3 WAR.
Yeah. I'll roll with that. twice the player that Addison Russell is right now. And it's not to say, like, here's the thing. That doesn't mean that Addison Russell's bad. It just means that you have the opportunity, if this is the, whatever road the Cubs go down, for the most part, it's going to make sense to me. They don't make a lot of mistakes as an organization. If they decide that they want to roll with Manny Machado, bring in a premier player and another bat to the lineup that's already, what, second in runs in the National League, great. It's not like Machado's a butcher at shortstop either, slash third. Take more of your phone calls, 312-644-6767. I'm also not as down on the bullpen as you are. I think their bullpen, for the most part, has been fine. If you want to tinker, great. But you'd rather trade Addison Russell for bullpen help instead of a guy that's probably going to be at the end of the season a 6 WAR. Okay. Back after this on The Score. Before I get back to taking your phone calls about Manny Machado, the Cubs, people are passionate about Machado. He's in town tonight to play the White Sox, by the way, who he doesn't know. Someone asked him about the White Sox. He was like, who? Do we have that sound, Shane? Pull that for me, because that's funny. Now, you probably just didn't hear the guy, but it's still like, White Sox. Couple thank yous. So I went out this weekend. It was a cool weekend. I went to go see my niece in a dance recital because me and my wife were out here being the goats of being aunt and uncle. So we went out to DeKalb, and I guess the program is called Just for Kicks out in DeKalb. They do a great job. My niece was up there. You know, she's little. She's like 4, and she's doing a great job dancing and knew all the stuff. So congratulations to her and all the dancers. And the people out there in DeKalb were really, really nice. Go Barbs. Had a good time. Also, during the break, I am eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, that's my dinner tonight. But Friday, after I left the gym, so I work out at UFC. I live, like, right off the Midway. And I was like, man, you know what I could really go for? A piece of toast from Medici. So I went into Medici, which is a restaurant on 57th Street. And I've never done this before. Even though they make their own bread, I never have bought a loaf of bread from there. And it was fresh, and they cut it right there in front of me. They sliced it right in front of me. Oh, this is a great peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So shout out to Medici. Nothing like fresh bread. Solid. All right. Elmwood Park and Rich. Hey, Rich, you're on The Score.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You know, a couple questions. One, if they go after Machado, do you think they'd make that decision strictly from a rental perspective and still be eyeballing Harper?
No, I would imagine, Rich, that if the Cubs traded for Machado, they would be trading thinking that they have a chance to sign him. That would be my thought. It's not like we know that this guy's going to leave. It's we're going to try and sign him. You can work on multiple fronts. You can send Jed and Chris Bryant to go talk with Bryce Harper while Theo and Albert Almora are talking to Machado. You can do that. To me, like, here's the thing. If you end up with either one, great. Here's the other thing. If you don't end up with either one, great. You know why? Because Chris Bryant might be MVP again. Have you really been paying attention to Chris Bryant's numbers? This dude, his slash line this year, 305, 427, 583. Right now, Chris Bryant has an OPS of 1.010. 24 walks, 29 strikeouts. You have a cornerstone player. Like, if you're sitting around looking for Harper or Machado to join the team for the long term, realize you have one of those dudes. You have a top 10 player in the league.
Hey, what do you think about the White Sox?
The who?
About the White Sox.
One more time, Shane. This is Manny Machado being asked simply, what does he think about the White Sox?
Hey, what do you think about the White Sox?
The who?
About the White Sox.
The who?
No, not the who. The White Sox. I'm telling you, he's not signing with the White Sox.
The who?
The White Sox, Manny. Not signing with them.
How you doing?
We're good, Douglas. What's on your mind? You're on the air.
Okay. Since the game has changed significantly, and we're playing a lot more cold weather games, especially in the playoffs, I had two disagreements with you.
Okay.
One is, I do believe pitching is paramount. And two is, you know, the bullpen. You know, any help you can get there is great. But the second one, you guys are going to totally disagree with me. I think that every player on the team needs to know how to bunt so that you can get those pitchers to pitch 10 extra pitches in an inning, even if it means Schwarber bunting and just getting one run in. And moving the base along, that bring rattle the pitcher, and guess what? He may get on base.
Okay. I'm going to step aside on this one. I'm going to let the representative from Wheaton handle this one.
Are you kidding me?
No bunting. Sacrifice bunting is dumb. You're bunting for a hit? Do it. Sacrifice bunting? Dumb. Giving up outs? Dumb. You only have 27 of them.
Shane, would you like to jump in on this?
I second that, and I was so angry. When Ricky Renteria, and this is evergreen, Ricky Renteria and bunting, against the Cubs, hitting Yomer Sanchez in the damn four hole, down five, sack bunting in the second inning.
I have got some reservations about Ricky Renteria as manager.
Hey, what do you think about the White Sox?
The who?
All right, that's enough. That is enough, sir. A texter says, please tell me you stopped at Fatty's in DeKalb and had the Cajun fried potato salad. You guys say that every time I go out to DeKalb. I did a show from Fatty's. I didn't have the Cajun potato salad. I had everything else, and it was great. Honestly, we ended up at Culver's right across the driveway from Fatty's because we were in a rush, and my wife likes Culver's.
Did you have the beer nuggets from that place that Rick Camp says has an ignorant amount of cheese on there?
No. We stopped at Culver's, and then we went home.
You get a concrete?
No, she got, what did she get? She
cheese
likes
nuggets.
She likes she got like the strawberry sundae because of the custard. Like, she likes that. So we did that. We saw some kids pre-prominent, you know, getting their pre-prom on at the Culver's, which I thought was an interesting move. And honestly, well played. You want to get a base going? You know, you're going to burn off some of that energy dancing and whatnot.
I was going to say, a base for what?
For when they go dancing.
Are you implying that these underage children are drinking
no,
at prom?
No.
Where there's nothing else to do in those stupid cornfields?
No. Not at all. Stuff like that never happens at prom. Never. One day we should tell prom stories. Burr Ridge and Ryan. Whoa, hold on, Ryan. Whoa. Shane, you made a face when I said prom stories.
You want to know something? Junior year and senior year, you know you have the prom court?
Mm-hmm. I was on it.
Junior year, I'm nominated, right? I get runner-up. I get prom prince of the junior year.
That's great.
Senior year, I'm on it. I get runner-up again.
Also great.
I have never been better than second place in anything in my entire life. You know how embarrassing that is? To finish second place to somebody both years.
What's that guy doing now?
Enough?
What's that guy doing now?
It's actually a good friend of mine. He's now a physical therapist.
Well,
good for him.
Finish second to him again. Burr Ridge and Ryan, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And my comments are really about Machado and how the Cubs' love affair for Russell. I think it's kind of delusional in effect where he'd rather hold on to Russell. You have a once-in-a-lifetime player in Machado, and you can't really pass up on a player like this. Like, when the Cubs took Chapman, they were all in on it. You're going to be all in on a player like Machado. I really don't care who they're going to give up. Give up Schwarber. Give up Russell. You have to for a player like this. And the Cubs have a bunch of money off the books next year, so they could risk it, hopefully signing Machado in the offseason, hopefully Harper. And, you know, their bullpen is not even that big of a problem. Their bullpen is number one in the league.
Correct. And I don't know why people keep talking about their bullpen like their bullpen's bad. Their bullpen's not bad. If their starters would go deeper into games, it would help that bullpen out quite a bit. But their bullpen's not bad. I get it. You always want more pitching if you can get it. But you don't have to really give up, I don't think, big assets to make that happen. Take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Doug Glanville. We'll ask him about this. What makes sense? I also want to ask him about Yu Darvish and pitch selection. We appreciate you hanging out. My name is Lawrence Holmes. The crew is Herb Lawrence, Shane Reardon, and Rick Camp. We're here with you until 10 on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.